Okay, well, this is Make It Weird, and my name's Steph, and this is Sienna, and we talk about dog stuff, and occasionally nonsense. I think our last episode, though, had very little nonsense.
I don't know what our last episode was.
Well, the last...
I don't pay attention.
The last episode that went up was mechanics.
Cool.
And Haley said...
What did we talk about? Was it good?
She said there was very little editing, which to me means, hey, good. That's probably good.
Or is it just very short?
Either way, could mean both things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was not that much nonsense there, which kind of gives me the impression that we could add more nonsense here.
Who cares if we're more nonsense than not? Who cares if we're more dogs than not? Who cares?
I don't think we care.
We don't care.
I don't think the people listening care, actually.
Nope.
I think they're okay with nonsense. They tell me in person a lot that they seem to be okay with nonsense.
Yeah.
So. They also tell me they're okay with the dog stuff, though. So then I'm it's like, kind are of you both. Just okay with all of it? Like,
yes,
you
I think so.
Oh. Okay.
What are we talking about?
We're going to talk about generalization.
It's not too late to switch.
No, we're doing it. No, fuck you, we're doing it.
I just think it's funny, and I don't know why we're so... Why do we not want to talk about it? Why do you think that it's something
think
we keep
it's something,
wanna
I don't even think
past?
It's... I don't think it's, hey, we don't want to talk about it. I think every time I go to talk about it, you think it's super funny to switch me to another topic. Because even now, I've said, we're going to do generalization.
No, I'm doing that today because I'm in a skinky mood. But no, but I don't think we've ever actually sat down with the intention of talking about generalization. Like we've said, we're going to do it this podcast. I think it's just always we make lists. We make these lists and lists and lists. And it's always on the list because it's a good idea.
Generalization actually made it to the top two or three ones.
We go, oh. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And then always, you're right. It'll come down to the bracket and we're in the final two. And then I, or you, kibosh it. We're like, nah, we'll do that another week.
Yeah, that is true.
So I'm just checking. You still want to talk about that this week?
Yes. Okay. We've checked. We've checked so many times. I did also hear that. It was a weird noise.
Okay.
I feel it was a leaf blower.
I feel it was a drill.
Oh.
Something about the gutters. Something tells me.
Ah. Quite the ear for power tools there. Now you're on this. Your 2024 is
I
really getting.
You not. I never told you about how cutting lumber went.
Oh God! Right,
I
you
had to
you
stop.
Texted me
no,
out
like
of.
I couldn't.
Okay, so to be clear for this podcast, just in case this makes the cut, I got texted
I don't
that
think
said,
it will.
"Hey, you can cut 2x4s on the steps, right?" And I
no,
went.
I said the floor.
Floor. Yes, you said I can cut this on a table or the floor, right? And I said, "Well, I would maybe take your back steps and just like put the 2x4 off the side and cut it." And then you went like thumbs up, and then I never heard. And then because I went, maybe you would do this. Hey, what are you building? And you just kind of gave me like a thumbs up. And then I never followed up on that because you showed up with all your limbs attached. So I went, I guess it went well.
So what? No, it didn't.
Oh,
so,
okay. What no, were you? Question
I
one, what were you making?
I did have a moment where it's actually, this whole story doesn't come out with me on top. It does. It's giving, you're an idiot. It's okay. Giving you other skills in life, and this isn't one of them.
No, it's giving you're a beginner. It's okay.
It's giving I'm a beginner. It's giving it's Dixon giving... would have not wanted to watch me do any of the following behaviors.
It's giving you're the reason warning labels were made?
Yes. It's giving I had to, like, I actually, like, the main reason I stopped is, like, I had a moment where, like, I didn't look in the mirror because there was no mirror, but, like, I literally, like, went, I'm going to hurt myself. Like, I went, This is one of those things where, like, this isn't worst case scenario. I don't cut wood. This is worst case scenario. I have to go in the house and I have to get somebody to drive me to the hospital.
Okay. Like, what? So, question one. What were you building?
See, and it just gets, the more I talk about it, the more embarrassed I get because this is going so southly so quickly. So basically, I wanted to put my Roughland in my car.
Okay.
But my Roughland doesn't fit in it. Like,
yeah.
I have offset
Yeah, it's like a slant. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then I just wanted everybody, I'm in Facebook groups and yeah, they make kennel setups and like they make it level. And I'm like, all I need is a little bit of wood.
Yeah.
Because the sleeping bag situation wasn't going well. So then I'm looking in my garage for some wood.
Yeah.
And we got some wood.
Yeah.
But all I could find was like a 2x4.
Yeah.
But it was just very long.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's not going
to
fit.
Next time, when you go home, I'm actually going to need you to send me a picture of what you're calling a 2x4 so I can see if it is in fact
a 2x4. It is a 2x4. Like,
okay.
I'm saying that actually.
You're like
95%
confident?
I'm like, this is true. This was a 2x4.
Okay.
But it was too long. So then I'm like, okay, I can cut this. This, how hard can it be to just cut a 2x4?
Yeah.
But when I asked you, hey, can I cut this or whatever I asked you, what were you envisioning I was cutting with?
Oh, I did picture like a hacksaw, like a saw, like a handsaw.
Okay. Like, yes. Bingo. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Like a think old lumberjack style.
Right. Yeah.
The ones that if you go like it makes the wobble sound.
For those listening along, there are some charades going on here. Yeah. Those ones, Sienna. I do know what we mean.
And then I'm like, how hard can that be?
Yeah.
To cut this in half. That's correct. All I wanted to do was cut 1 2x4 in half.
Right.
And I'm going, and then like I tried it on the floor for a sec, but then that wasn't really working because the angle. Me.
Good.
And then
you were
like, step. So as a side note, I didn't know what you meant by that, so I just gave up with that.
Okay.
So I went, you said, sure, steps, and I thought about it, and I was like, so then I cleared off, my dad has like a workbench in the shop,
right,
technically.
That is,
it's just covered in stuff.
But that's option two, right, for sure.
I put the 2x4 on there, and I start to saw, but this was not...
It was not...
First off, I think the saw was old, like it's old and rusty, it's probably not very sharp.
Right.
I didn't try it on my hand or anything, but like...
Thank you for that. Got it.
Starting, and I'm like, either this is a lot harder than I thought it would be, or there's something like I'm actually doing wrong. And then like, that's when like it had wobbled once as I was moving.
Right.
None of this was regulation, and I just like I paused and I went, I just don't think that this is safe. So I stopped.
I think you're correct.
And then the moral of the story actually is how he actually found it level. I found more wood in the back that was short enough, so okay. I made that work without having to cut anything. But if you look in my garage right now, there's a 2x4 with just three marks in it.
Three little chisel marks, and that was the attempt.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just a journey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually, as soon as you said that, I realized I never followed up on that. I just went, sure, you should cut that knot on your floor. And then I went, okay, there was no picture of blood afterwards, and you said nothing else. And I went, I guess you sorted your shit out.
I think if I continued, because I think that. If I would have continued and gotten further than three chisels, I would have been in the mindset of, like, I have to finish this now. Like, I have to cut this. Mm. And then it would have frustrated me to not be working, and then I would have been wiggling, and then, like...
But the moral of the story is you found other shit that you could just repurpose without...
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
There's now, like, 8 pieces of wood in my car if I ever need it, too. Like, if I need to start a fire real quick or something, I have lumber.
Right.
I've got, like, 4 touch pads in my car.
That's phenomenal. I also really wonder how you're going to start a fire.
I'd be interested to see how you, like, see my setup.
I would be interested to see the setup and see what you're calling lumber. Because I also...
What do you mean? It's wood.
Yeah. I'm so invested. I'm going to go check your car later. Wow. Yeah. That was a phenomenal... I love that you are really entering your construction era.
It's not.
I love that you're also entering your construction era while recognizing your boundaries. And being like, oh, I don't know this yet. I should hold off.
And what's bonkers though, and don't share too much, but I'm just like, I also go like, if I had a power saw for sure I could have done it, but then I'm like, some people might say that the power saw might have been more dangerous. But who is to say. Okay,
warning labels say a lot of things, but that's an old handsaw. There was no warning label on there for you to...
I was in Margaritaville Crocs too, like this is not up to code at all.
If you've got your Margaritaville Crocs and your braids, the world needs to watch out. You are about to do construction. Somebody hide the power tools. She's coming.
It'd be easier with power tools.
Well, yeah, it would be faster.
Yeah.
Mistakes would happen faster, but the solution would have... Yeah, lots of things would happen faster.
It's an option.
But is speed really better?
Yes.
Okay. We should talk about generalization. And then, you know how they can add Q&As at the bottom?
Sure.
I think the question for this episode should be, what is your favorite construction tip for
right.
Sienna's tips future
and
endeavors.
Tricks. Construction tips and tricks yes. with Sienna.
Just like, just, you know, a one sentence. Here you go. This is important.
I am so... I just thought of three other things that I want to talk about that have nothing to do with dogs. So you either have to start talking about dogs right now or know that this is down the toilet, this whole episode. Up to you. But you got about this, 2 seconds.
We're going to talk about generalization because as you keep pointing out, it's weird that we haven't done it because the episode... or well, not the episode. The whole podcast is named Make It Weird. And... we talk about generalization a lot, like, daily. I think why we haven't done it.
Yeah, it's just boring. It's basic.
Well, no, but it is to us, because...
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's the same reason we avoided engagement for a long time. We avoided impulse control for a long time.
By the time we talk about
because
it...
because it's just like, oh my gosh, yes.
Any day we work, we're pretty much... There was almost certainly at least one private, if not more. And if we've done at least one private, we've talked about generalization in some capacity in that private. So I think that's why.
Yeah.
Because at least once, if not several it's times just like, in that day. Just, not that week.
Where do
that
you
day.
Go, you know?
Well...
but anyway, what does generalization mean, Steph?
Okay, so generalization. When we teach a dog something, let's say we teach a dog sit. That's great. They know how to sit in their living room on a leash with you, wearing your Crocs, hanging out. As soon as you go to your back deck, you know, they may know sit, but they're not necessarily going to know how to sit under distraction. So going outside, we would then call that proofing. But if we were to take that same dog and take them and put them in the bathtub or have them jump on a chair, we classify that under generalization because they may not know that they can do the thing that you've taught them to do in a slightly different way. So we actually separate proofing and generalization here. There are a lot of people that put them together or they have different definitions. To us, proofing is when you're asking the dog to do something, but it's slightly harder. They're being asked to do
it's
the
like
exact same thing. It's just a test, but you're just testing their knowledge. Hey, can you do this?
Good
it's exactly the same,
check.
But it's like a different room. But when we talk about generalization, we're talking, can they do it if one of those elements changes? So if the floor is different and, you know, there's some dogs that we would even classify like doing a sit on carpet and then doing a sit on tile would be generalization for some of those dogs that are maybe a little bit different. But most of the time we're talking about, hey, if you're going to generalize a sit, can you sit, you know, in your kitchen and that's fine. But can you also sit in the tub? Can you get in the back of your car and ask for a sit? Can you do a sit if I'm standing in front of you and I am wearing all of my outdoor stuff and my hands are in the air, right? I'm not changing a lot of the elements. I'm just seeing, hey, can you do this if any one of the elements around you changes in a way that affects your ability to do it? Like, are you cue it? So why I would classify me wearing something different with my hands in the air is, oh, hey, is the behavior being caused by me, like, gesturing to you or standing in a certain way or wearing specific clothes? So that's why, like, sometimes if you're talking about sport dogs, people get really finicky about, oh, they wear the same thing, or you're not allowed to wear this in a trial or that in a trial, because they go, oh, hey, then the dog only understands the behavior if you're wearing a training vest or et cetera, et cetera. So we talk about proofing and we go, hey, can they do this even if something is happening? For generalization, we use the even if, but we go, even if something affects their ability to do the thing we're asking them to do and make it harder or easier.
To me, the difference is kind of like proofing to me is like testing because like,
yeah.
To me, generalizing is they're still learning it. Generalizing is we are expanding their knowledge and they're learning
it. Too.
To me, proofing is they know this. This is a test. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's a challenge. But it's not. Generalizing is you are just expanding upon their knowledge and they're still learning it.
Yes. And they're learning that they can do it in a slightly different way. They're learning they can do it on a different surface. They're learning they can do it without you being right there. They're learning they can do it if you're
5 feet away.
5 feet away, close, far. They're learning they can do it. You know, with distraction around is also proofing, but I really consider generalization to me is also going, hey, we're taking a known behavior and we're making it successful. If your goal is to generalize a behavior, you should be laddering in and scaling your generalization so that the dog is successful every time. Proofing, like how you just said, like it's a test, is like proofing means I've generalized so much that now I'm going to put you in that testing situation.
Throw everything at you.
When you're proofing something, I kind of expect the dogs not to always be successful.
Right.
If you're proofing something, I kind of assume that they're going to struggle to do it.
Yeah, they've got to think about it.
When I generalize something, I don't want a dog to be struggling to generalize. I want them to
break. You want to be able to break it down enough that it is reasonable.
When I'm generalizing something, I want them to be super, super successful every time. If I'm proofing something, I understand that I am putting them at the very, very, very tip of generalization to the point where they may not be successful. And that, you can make an argument, is not super, super relevant in certainly the beginning of behavior mod. There are a lot of people that want to take a dog that barely knows behavior and start proofing. They want to throw so many things. We have a different belief. If you were going to start generalizing a behavior, what would you start with?
What am I generalizing?
Actually, what would you do before you generalize?
Make sure the dog knows it.
There's an idea. Before people start running in to generalize their behaviors, or God help us all, proof them, maybe we should make sure that the dog, like,
knows
does
it
know
in the
it.
Most basic of environments, most basic of asks. Like, just, they know it.
Can your dog do this in your living room without a lot of assistance? Or, like, can you get a sit in your living room if you are luring with your food while pulling on your leash, while trying to walk into your dog, okay, if
they might not know it.
They may not know what you're asking at all. If that behavior is something that your dog is offering 37 times, whether or not you're holding a leash, whether or not you're holding food, whether or not you're asking for it, I guarantee you they know it's valuable. They may not know the word for it. They may not know like what it is by command, but they know it's valuable.
They know
so
this
they know
is,
they can
this is
do
good.
It.
This is good.
Yeah, this is good. You know, so first, maybe we should also, and I mean, this is kind of a problem we see with training content a lot, is we see dogs failing when they're supposedly entering a proofing stage.
Yeah.
But a lot of times what frustrates me, and now what frustrates you, you're so welcome, is when you know well enough that you're watching the whole footage and you're like, oh, the dog doesn't know this to start with.
They just don't recognize what you're asking.
You can recognize from the footage and 73 fucking years later, like you're watching something that happened 2 years ago and you're looking at a dog you've never met in an environment you've never met. You're going, that dog doesn't know what you're asking for at all.
Yeah. Like,
that's frustrating.
It is one of those things where, again, humans and dogs are different. And like, humans are so good at like thinking and ideas and just being like, wow, this is the idea of what I want or anything. Mm-hmm. But dogs don't. Dogs think in pictures and like, I don't know. It's just, you see it all the time. And even like, even when clients come and stuff, or like if we're doing the first time you go to pull down a crate, like to do crate stuff, the first time, as soon as I go to put a crate on the floor, no matter what the topic is, maybe we're discussing crate games, maybe we're doing impulse control, whatever it is, the second you go to put the crate down on the floor, I know in my head, I'm not expecting anything this first time. I just got to see, like, first off, sometimes it's like, will the dog even get in the crate? Mm-hmm. And then it's if they do, like, you know, I know that, but so many owners, as soon as I put the crate down, because they're, like, confident their dog is, like, crate trained and, like, great, cool, they walk up to the crate, and then, like, if the dog doesn't do it within a second, a lot of them get, like, annoyed or, like, go to, like, just shove the dog in the crate, and I'm like, no.
A lot of them are also just absolutely amazed.
Right, like, just like, oh, I swear he goes in the crate at home, and I'm like, no, I know he goes in the crate at home. This is a different box, though. And sometimes yours is a wire kennel. This is a plastic crate. That's completely different. So I know to you, dog is crating, dog crate. That means crate. To him, this is a completely different box. Yeah. Smells different. We're in a weird place. There's lots of people standing here. Like,
When you say crate, you are a human. And you think of a dog crate and you go, dog crate is the same as dog crates. So when you think of a crate, you go, that is just a box that holds a dog. When you say crate to your dog goes, that box. That is crate to your dog. That one
box. At home next to your bed.
In the specific spot it is, they don't know that there are other dogs that have crates. They don't know everybody else has a crate.
It's crazy.
And if they go, oh, hey, they think, oh, another dog has a crate. Like, let's say you have another dog that has another crate. To them, it's kind of like asking them for their address. If you ask a person about their house, like everybody has a house, but everybody has a specific address, which is different from everybody else. So a dog looks at their crate like they look at their address. It is different from everyone else's address. Why would they go in that crate? That's not their address.
Bonkers.
Yeah. So we think of crates as, oh, all dogs have crates. Dogs can go in crates. They go, I am a dog and I have a crate. I would never walk into someone else's crate. That would be like you going, I have a house, so I should just walk into someone else's house.
Don't do that.
Those are different addresses. It would never occur to you. But because people and dogs think differently, there, yeah, lots of people are absolutely amazed. Because, and then the other thing is, yeah, when we take a crate off the wall and we put it on the ground and we ask the dog to get in, they're hesitant, but they do it. Yeah, it's like if you've never been invited over to somebody else's house. They didn't know they could go in someone else's house. Like, they're like, okay, I know we're in this building, but, like, I've never been invited in someone else's house. Like, why are we going in the crate? This is, yes, this is weird. Isn't that someone else's crate? Like, I don't want to piss them off. So we have to be like, no, no, we're gonna teach you to do it many, many different ways in many, many different crates. And then they go, then they can have the understanding that, oh, hey, crate means anything with four walls and a roof. It just means go in a box. It does not mean an address. But if you don't teach them,
they're
not
going to come up with that idea on their own.
No.
Like,
no.
That wouldn't occur to them.
Yeah. So the first thing we have to do is make sure that they actually know the behavior, right? Once they know the behavior in one way, like they know how to get in a crate at home, they know how to get in their crate. Cool. We could generalize it and we can go, cool, now you can get in several different crates. Of different makes, of different models, of different sizes, right? And then we can generalize it. And if they are very, very good at getting in their crate, and we can put their crate all around, and that's cool, we could then proof it, and we could go, hey, we're going to take a crate you've never seen before and put it in a location you've never seen and turn it in a way you've never gotten into it and then ask you to crate. That would be what we would consider proofing, as we're making it difficult for the dog to do the thing. And they've never done that specific thing before. But all the other steps leading up to it are what we call generalization. And if we don't teach the dog to generalize a behavior, they are not going to generalize it to everything, much less generalize it well enough to be a concept. And oh, what God. We teach in behavior is concepts. Yeah. We don't teach sit and down and heel as things that just
exist.
Yeah.
Okay. There's just buttons.
Yeah, there's buttons. It's,
wow. Three magic words.
That's it. No, we go, hey, we're going to teach this as a concept. We teach engagement as a concept. We teach impulse control as a concept. Impulse control to us is not leave it. It's not putting a milk bone, my favorite one, putting a milk bone on the ground and standing between the milk bone and your dog like a goalie, like you're that Jurassic Park meme, just being like, don't touch it. And then, like, that's lead. I love that for you, but that's not impulse control for me. We teach the behaviors that make up the concept, and then we teach them, and then we generalize them so well that they become conceptual. And how we know they're conceptual is that we put them in a proofing situation, and if they can do the behavior we're asking for in a situation they've never been in with elements they've never seen, that is when we know that it's conceptual. Because we're coming at everything from a behavior standpoint. If you're a sport trainer and you want to argue about proofing with me, have a good luck. It's going to be like arguing with a brick wall. I'm just going to stare at you because, listen, that's not what we're talking about. Have a good day. I'll argue with you later.
This isn't for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, it fucking should be. It could
be.
Don't
even get me started because I don't understand all the pattern training in sports. I don't want to get started on that. That's
yeah,
a different
we have
argument.
Different, we have feelings.
That.
We have feelings.
We could talk
feelings.
About that.
Okay, whoa.
Just because I don't understand.
No, I know.
And it frustrates me.
I do see that. I feel that, actually. But that's the thing, is I'm like, there are lots of different ways that people train, and that's really great. How we train, specifically coming from a place where we work predominantly in behavior, we work predominantly with significant behavior, with dogs that are not necessarily linear in either their thoughts or strong in their genetics.
Or spiritually.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
They're not,
just said that.
Yeah, strong. They're not strong genetically, spiritually.
Just like...
Yeah, they have sometimes inconsistent reactions or inconsistent levels of reactions to stimulus. We have to teach very, very differently. And our generalization, not only our teaching of the initial behavior has to be good, but the generalization we do has to be pretty extreme. Because there are some dogs that, like, we, for example, we just spent some time training with a dog that absolutely at home can eat out of its own bowl.
Oh, wow. Yes.
What a great time. It can drink out of its own bowl. It can eat out of its own bowl in its own house. We love that for that. Right. So it came here, and bowls are terrifying.
Scary.
Scary.
Not her bowl. Their bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Means it was difficult.
Very difficult. So when I just did a TikTok on problem solving, because when you're problem solving sport behaviors, that's fine. But when you are problem solving, like, behavior problems that are sometimes driven by reasons that don't really make sense to you, but that is what's dog. It doesn't matter if it makes sense to you. It matters that it makes sense to
the
dog.
What is the dog thinking?
Yeah, it's the what is driving the dog's behavior. So it doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. The dog
doesn't matter if you think it's rational. It doesn't matter if you think that's what should happen next. Yeah. What is the dog doing?
Right. So even though the dog has eaten out of its bowl before and drank out of its bowl before, it came here and went, oh my God, that is not my bowl. And even though I am hungry and thirsty, my God, that is terrifying. Right? So we're not talking just about generalizing like sits and walking and reactive dogs walking around pet stores. We're talking about generalizing like the ability to eat. Like, hey, and yes, we can go, here's some kibble on the floor, and we can hand feed, and we can scoop some water and be like, hey, but that doesn't fix the problem. That is a good way to manage the situation, but that it is not the same as generalizing teaching the behavior of, hey, look, you can interact with a bowl. It is not going to kill you. It is safe. And then you can interact with different bowls.
Oh my gosh.
And then we can generalize you eating out of many, many types of bowls. We're just talking
containers. Bowl is bowl.
A bowl is a bowl. Wow. That is, wow. That crazy. That was a moment.
That was a journey.
It was. Spiritually, mentally, physically. Yeah. It was a good time. So, like, I think a lot of people, when they hear us talk about generalization, because we talk about generalization to our clients and to other people in the sense of, like, sits, down, walking, training, confidence. When we're talking about generalization as trainers, when we are dealing with significant behavior, we're sometimes talking about generalizing, like, literally life
skills. Eating out of a bowl, going pee somewhere else, like, all of these things of just life skills.
Yes. And so, and dependent on the dog, the other thing, I had this conversation a couple months ago with someone who has... She actually does come here for sport training. And I was explaining how someone was coming back to do some maintenance just because, like, she hadn't been here for 4 months. So her dog, like, could no longer function here for the first 2 days it was here. Like, whoa, everything is terrifying. Because she's only dealt with genetically sound dogs. They're stable dogs. She's used to one type of dog. And I was like, no, you're coming here to maintain and generalize and proof these higher level skills. I'm like, this person is doing exactly the same thing, but they're doing it with peeing on a leash, going in a strange crate, having a stranger hold the leash and ask for things, and like eating out of strange bowls.
Life skills.
Yeah. Like, dependent on the genetics involved, sometimes we're talking about generalizing just life skills, and teaching that is also a skill set. Yeah. Like, if you can teach sit, that's great.
Love it.
But sometimes we literally have to teach basic life skills, like basic just functioning. We sometimes, the goal for the first bit is functioning and participation.
We love it.
We're not looking for sits fancy and downs.
Nothing
and
fancy.
Feet.
Expectations not super high.
Yeah, I'm not seeing just, if you can, you know, down in a Home Depot. I'm seeing if you can pee while there's wind.
Whoa. That's a lot.
Can you pee in a different
Can you pee while there's another person present on the property?
Calm down. Yeah.
Not even in the yard.
We're going to clear out a square kilometer to start. But yeah, so when we talk about generalization, first off, we're taking a behavior. And the first thing we do is we make sure they know it. And we make sure they know it super, super well, because we're talking about behavior. These are not always dogs that can withstand failure. What I mean by that is if you jump straight to proofing with a really stable, confident dog and your dog is not successful, that's not really going to impact them. Like, maybe.
Nice.
Maybe if you're kind of a dick to them. But, like, honestly, they're probably going to be like, oh, I'll try again.
Weird.
When you're talking about doing behavior work and you're talking about generalizing behavior work, people want to jump. They want to leap up staircases. And I'm like...
Well, like, and the funny thing is sometimes they don't even think they're leaping up staircases. They think they're taking a step. But, like, for that dog, it is a massive leap. And you need to slow your roll.
Yeah, you need to slow your roll a lot. So, for example, let's say we have taught leash skills. We have taught leash skills. So everybody and their brother wants to deal with, like, dog reactivity. Like, yeah, they want to do walking and they have dog reactivity or human reactivity. Oh, my God.
Dog walk at the lake.
Yo, my God, the dog walks at the lake, right? So, like, they want to be able to walk down the street and their dog sees a dog from 200 feet away and their dog goes ballistic. And they want to go, I want to deal with dog reactivity. So we build a lot of foundational skills and then we teach leash skills and then we teach leash skills in a very, very, you know, what we call pristine environment, which just means there's no distractions. It's very boring.
Wow.
So once we've built nice leash skills and we know we have nice leash skills, everyone goes, cool, bring on the dogs.
No.
No.
Let's not.
Let's kay. Just. Yeah. Breaks. Pause. Pause on the play. Flag.
Rewind. Rewind.
Yeah. Yeah. Be kind. Please rewind. I'm aging myself. So if, let's say, your dog blows up at 200 feet at a dog, the closest you can get is 200 feet before they go nuts. Hey, Sienna, what? And that's that. We're going to call that level 8, level 9. Level 10 means red line, not a chance. My dog doesn't even know its own name. It's actively eating a dog. What would a level 1 or 2 distraction be that we could practice instead of in our pristine environment where 0 is happening?
Okay. We got 0, which is pristine environment.
Yeah. We've got 8, which is dogs are 200 feet away.
Okay.
What would like a 1, 2, or a 3 be?
Right.
What could we practice our skills around?
Maybe in our pristine environment, but like just like have objects on the floor.
What?
Like literally. Go into your garage, pick 5 things off the shelf, and there just not even in your path, just like on the sidelines, bro.
Yeah.
And just walk around inanimate objects, not even moving objects, not even sounds.
Yeah.
Just objects.
So that could be 1. Whoa. And then let's say we want level 2. Maybe we could turn one of those on. We could make them make noise. A little
decoration. Or if you can't make them make noise, you just like play something on the radio.
Yeah, that we could be do cool. That. We could do that. Cool. We could add some objects, and they could be things your dog likes, like their toys or stuffies.
Food.
Food.
You could
just put a bag of popcorn on the ground. Close. Whoa. Like, just make it. And then that's also a good way to time your... Here's a good thing. You could time your training session, right? Because you don't want to eat cold popcorn. So if you make it and then you put it on the ground and then you're going to walk, but you have to stop because a good training session, by the way, and I'm going to yell this for the rest of my life, is 5 to 7 minutes. Everyone needs to stop with these 30-minute training sessions with dogs that are, like, learning. My God. Put that on the ground.
Yeah.
And you got to stop training before it gets cold.
You know what gets a lot of dogs?
What?
Dogs are like me, a tote bag. Put a tote bag on the floor. Like, that is true. Throw something in there so it's a little stable. But literally, any tote bag, you see a dog walk past a tote bag and not stick their nose in it. Good luck.
That is.
It's like putting a tote bag in front of me and telling me not to look into it.
I could put anything in front of you and it could be fully sealed and tell you not to look in it. You're going to go get scissors.
Yes.
100%.
You could, if you have another person in the home, literally just have that person like walk in circles around you.
Yep.
You could.
And here's the fun thing is it's like everybody's like, well, of course my dog can do that. And I'm like, okay then do it. And first off, okay, do it. Second, cool. Do they do it well?
Right. Like, what is wrong with practicing a skill?
Yeah.
What is wrong with practicing a skill more than once? Like, mm-hmm. I'm glad your dog did that once. Okay. Then either A, do it again, or B, like, it's okay to practice things, especially when we are coming at it from a standpoint of like any sort of behavior or reactivity or whatever you want to call it. It's okay to practice when it goes well. Yeah. Like, it's not really a, they did it once, check, let's go next level. It can be just like, wow, they're doing good.
Yeah, the number.
Let's do it again.
The number of people that come in that first off say, my dog walks really, really nicely as long as there's no people around. I go, cool, give me 20 feet of a walk. Well, now I don't even do that. I go, when you say your walks look good, does that mean they look like they did when you came in here?
Yeah.
And they go, yes.
From the car to the building.
Yeah. And I go, right. So that's not a good walk. You got yeeted into my woods, my friend.
But we were in a new place. We were excited. Yes. We were
Yeah, they go, well, yeah, and that's everyone's first response is they go, well, you know, that's what the walk looks like when we're a new place. And I'm like, okay, right. So in a new place where we can't see dogs, there's one person ignoring your dog. It just kind of smells like the woods. Your dog, you are literally getting yeeted through the forest, my friend. We had to put cleats on your feet to get you to stop going down my driveway. Like, no. That's no.
And again, that's okay.
Yes.
But it's like, but
that's not the definition of my dog knows this skill except around dogs. No, that's the definition of your dog doesn't know that skill. And even in a new environment would be like a level 4 or a 5.
Yes.
Trigger.
And we do understand too of like when you are dealing with reactivity because it fucking sucks. Like we get it that like the moment your dog sees another dog is the absolute worst. Like that's the worst of it. And you're like, this is trash. So obviously when your dog is just pulling a little bit, when your dog is just kind of yeeting you, but we're not aggressively yeeting you, you go, okay, well, it's not that bad. It's okay. We understand why you're saying that. But at the same time, recognizing that like, No, even if there's not a dog present, your dog actually doesn't know how to walk. It's just, there's no dog present.
And you need to recognize that if we see that, we also go, that's not a skill that is good enough for us to build foundation on. Like, we can't build on that. Right. The skill isn't there. We need to make it first. And there's a lot of people that go, okay, well, not only do they do the whole, like, oh, he definitely knows how to walk unless there's a dog around. And then we go, right. They also, we send you home to practice walking. Again, we tell you how to make your own little, like,
practice track.
And people come back and they go, well, we did it once or twice, but he's really, so, yeah, now he's really, this is my favorite. He's really, really good on the practice track. But, like, yeah, then he did it really well 3 times. By the 3rd time, he was amazing. He was so good. And then I took him for a walk and he was so bad again. Like, he was just, he didn't do it. And I'm like, okay, you're a 4-year-old dog. That you have done 3 5-minute practice track walks with that you thought went well by the end of it, because I specifically told you how to make it go well, where you haven't done this enough to practice the skill, much less the dog hasn't done this enough to practice the skill, and you at least understand why you want a change in behavior. Your dog, that it was not verbally explained to your dog why they need to change their behavior, so they don't know that you're changing the rules of the game, and you went, I did this 3 times, partially successfully.
Let's make it as hard as possible.
Yeah, let's aim for the moon
and
be disappointed when that doesn't happen. And I'm like, right, I'm not a big believer that training needs to take 73 years. I am a big believer that good training doesn't take that long. Really, honest to God, good training, you can layer all this stuff in very, very well if the baseline skill is taught properly. If the dog knows the baseline skill.
Yes.
If the dog can do the baseline skill and is incredibly clear on the baseline skill, you can go through that scaling, that ladder of distractions and issues so fucking quickly. But people want to skip teaching the baseline
skill. They just want it fast, but they don't worry about like...
Yeah, they want to have the baseline skill fast, so then it's shitty. It's partially there, and then they want to put
unleash the Kraken. Yeah. Let's go.
I've just edited part of the video from the trainer seminar where I was talking about impulse control, and I was like, the big 3, but it's the big 4. Immediately, as soon as you're like, you have a dog with dog reactivity, and you go, okay, you have some leash skills, kind of, sort of.
Yes.
I go, people just go immediately, let's aim to bring in a livestock or prey item, a dog, or a human, or pet store. We immediately go to a Home Depot and we go
fucking Home Depot.
Home Depot. We love Home Depot because you're entering your construction era.
Right.
But also like conceptually fuck Home Depot.
I don't think they'll sponsor me ever if they listen to the first part of this podcast is kept in here about me cutting wood. I don't think Home Depot or anybody will ever sponsor me. No, I think
they're here to support you on your construction era.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's everybody. They go, okay, I have sort of kind of made skill sets.
Can we
so
add number five of the big 5? Can we make the big 5?
Oh, what is the big 5?
What's the fucking lake.
Oh, yeah.
The fucking lake.
They've recalled in the backyard.
Big box construction store. Dogs, people.
Prey animals.
Prey. Cats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my dog really struggles around like the cats or whatever. So they go, so I walked it near a cat, or I went to the place with all the rabbits, and I'm like, okay.
It's a choice.
And it's not like they did 18 things in between 0 and level 8, 9, and 10. They literally just go, boom. So we're gonna, or my other favorite one, and this is where I kind of get a little testy, time.
Well.
So when I met you, I was like, how far away would you be? You would be like, down the fucking street.
Yeah.
If I see a dog within sight, I'm running.
180.
So one of the things that you were taught to do before you started here was, like, the whole thing was, we're going to put you far away from a dog. So we're just, and we're going to go further away than they would ever react to it. And I'm like, at that point for you, that was out of sight.
Yeah.
Like, it was literally just out of sight. Yeah. So people are like, well, I'm going to make the behavior and I'm going to be so far away, but literally getting into sight of the dog. And I'm like, I'm a big fan of add distance. Abso-fucking-ly.
Yes.
But you were going, you were measuring distance in city blocks. At what point were you, you added quite a bit of distance for a very long time and no progress was made because, again, we didn't work with other things that caused arousal.
Right.
We only worked with the with most dogs. Extreme thing version. That caused arousal. And we just tried to add more distance. And I'm like, okay, starting distance that we were working with was 200 feet. What, we're going to drop down to 250? Like, at that point, we are basically out of sight.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how about instead of just the thing that causes the most arousal, we just start training around something that causes a distraction.
Like a little bit. Yeah.
Like a little bit. Like a tiny, like things on the floor.
Yes.
Like food. Like put a bag of popcorn.
Happening in the background.
Yes.
Like,
invite a friend over. And everyone goes, well, my dogs like my friends. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Then work around them.
Yes. Put them in a lawn
that's
chair.
That's actually better.
Yes. Put them in. Yeah, that would actually.
If your dog doesn't like your friends, that's don't a level, start with
well,
this.
Well, no, actually, if your dog doesn't like the friends and just doesn't want to interact with them, put them in a lawn. Like, and we don't mean don't like your friends, like you're scared of them or aggressive. I would say for the people that come over that the dogs are just like, I don't care.
In my head,
exist.
I went, if your dog likes to eat people, like if your dog likes to like 100%. Hate your friends.
You were looking
do
at me like
again.
I had three heads.
I know, you started again. And you're like, this could be an easier. And I'm like, no, if your dog actually wants to kill your friends, don't do this right away.
Just like the people that your dog ignores.
Okay, yeah. Your dog's not a lab who is gonna die.
Yeah, but for the people that come over that your dogs are like, oh my god, those are my best friends ever because they love dogs or they pet them or whatever. Start with the people that don't care at all about your dog and then move on to the people that they think that's the best friend ever and just put them in a lawn chair on the side of your garage.
Wow.
Just be like, wow, you can sit on a lawn chair in the driveway and keep working your practice track, and if your dog can learn to handle their shit for that, maybe we can start laddering up. But it's so common that everyone goes, first off, my dog knows the skill. And I'm like, no, they don't. Second off, well, they're super good only around dogs. And we literally, again, Sienna, big fan of the buy now button. Sienna takes the animatronic fish.
Yes, we got a floppy fish cat toy. We have those baby crawling crabs.
Yeah,
we've
literally
got
Tonka
trucks.
We've also just squeaked a stuffy.
Yes,
thrown it on the ground in the other corner of the room. Like it is not accessible to the dog. It's just within sight, and we go, okay, do exactly what you just did, but do it again.
Yeah,
and the dog can't do it. And I'm like, okay, so like, if your dog is too distracted to function. When there's just like a toy over there or a ball on the ground or a person standing near you.
Or just something new.
What makes you think they're going to be successful with a strange dog on the street?
With an uncontrollable thing that's getting closer and louder and like you can't. Like what?
So before maybe we introduced the world's hardest attraction, we should generalize the behavior. So that is what we do. We go, hey, we're going to teach the behavior. And specifically, again, we're talking about, let's say, dog reactivity. We teach the leash walking, and then we teach, okay, animatronic crab, people around, food,
little distraction,
things.
Wow, little distraction. Like, we're just adding things. Generalizing, actually, if you're doing it at home, like, if you're just training your dog and stuff, generalizing should not look like a struggle. You should not feel like this is out of your scope. You should not be like, oh, but the trainer made it look so easy.
It shouldn't be out of your scope. It also should not cost you $1 billion. So everybody, we've also heard several times how we have the equipment. So that's why it is. We've also heard several times, well, we have access to dogs and people. So that's why we can do this. Oh, bro, I train a lot. You do not want to be in the training.
I can make 100 distractions without ever pulling out another dog. I promise that.
Yeah.
Like,
oh God, give you access to a dumpster. You're going to have 300.
Like,
easy.
Yeah, like, the thing is just, like, when you're at home, and again, we're using reactivity because it is a very common thing, and that's, everyone loves reactivity. But, like, literally, this goes for everything. Like, if you're teaching your dog fun stuff, if you're teaching your dog basics, if you're going through behavior, we want to generalize everything for them or, like, help them see that. And again, it should not be something that is a super massive struggle at home to do because that's not the point.
And it shouldn't be, oh, my God, I'm gonna go get my dog to climb on a bulldozer.
No.
Like, it shouldn't be, oh my God, I'm going out of my way to go to a store, climb on equipment.
Do it in your basement.
I'm like, yeah, literally just do that in your basement. Do that while a power tool is running. I was like, doing scent detection the other week, and I literally had a bunch of stuff scattered in the area. She was super used to this stuff, so one of the things was a power drill, and I just left it on.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, and you know what? That threw her. Wow.
But did she absolutely die?
No, she just was like, this is weird.
Right.
Why is it
running? So then you just work through it.
Yes. That like, meant it was doable, like, right? It doesn't need to be a thousand, it doesn't need to be shoot for the moon every time. It doesn't need to be a big, everybody wants it to be a big, exciting change every time. Every single time they adjust their training, they want it to be Instagram worthy. It needs to be something fancy that is noticeable in a camera to a layman watching the video so that everyone's impressed.
It should be subtle.
Yeah, you know what impresses me is when you know how to scale training.
Oof, that's impressive.
Now, again, if you are a pet owner,
if
you're just like a person, I love everything you're doing.
If you're a anything person with you're a doing, dog, I'm in. As a side note, if you're a person with a dog, like, again, because I don't, like, nobody knows that dogs don't generalize.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, if you're with a dog and you're just listening, we appreciate with, like, everything you're doing.
Yeah, and if you've ever struggled with things like, okay, but they do it so well for, like, my husband, or they do it so well for the trainer, but then it's not good for me, or, wow, they do it so well, but then when I took them to my mom's house, they just were so stubborn, they didn't do it. All of those things, those are typically, there could be other things, but they are typically a generalization thing.
Yeah.
Like, they just... they didn't know.
It's just an issue.
It's just, it looks different to them. And because they're not, wow, is their brain not as complex as like, wow, we can do that in every situation all the time with any person all the time. Like,
and I reserve all my judgment there. But if you are a trainer and are putting up training of a dog that you're working with and every single time you put up a video that you deem worthy of putting up, you are literally throwing a brand new level 10 distraction. I'm like, okay, I know what you're doing. The button isn't visible.
Because if you're a trainer, you should be able to, especially when we're talking about, like, oh, you take a boarding trainer, you take a dog.
Yeah.
Your job is to generalize that training good enough that now the owner can do it.
Yes.
Like, do we understand that that's the job? I don't think we do.
Well, part of it is generalizing well enough that they can do it. The other part is teaching the owner that they can do it.
Yeah.
And teaching them what generalization is and how to do it on their own.
And also teaching the dog.
Yes.
But
like, there's many levels. We have feelings.
Many, many levels.
We have so many emotions. But yes, so that's where we're talking about. Like, if you are a person with a dog, and you went, I taught leash skills and then I tried to work near a dog. I mean, but like, if you're a person with a dog, you're learning, it's fine. Work around smaller things. Make a scale of like items you would consider level one and things like situations you'd consider level two.
If you,
and three.
Even if you make a list, like even if you can't even do that, even if you just make a list of 10 things you could do
before you hit dogs.
Even if you're not right, if you're not sure of like how hard would this be versus this, literally just make a list of 10 things, do it over the next 2 weeks, and then
see based on how your dog does with those things.
Yeah.
If you are not a person with a dog, if you are a dog trainer, and especially if you are a professional dog trainer that is getting paid to do things for other people,
you should know that before make a list if that helps you, but you should know that.
Well, you should be able to make a list in the next 30 seconds. Like, you should you shouldn't have to make a list. You should already have a list of possible 1, 2, and 3 mm-hmm, level mm-hmm. items. I went, Sienna, give me level 1, 2, and 3 items. And you went, okay, done.
You know what the funny thing is, too? What? In my head, I'm like, can I ask for a history of the dog? Because in my head for a second. And then I went, okay, slow your roll. She's just asking for general things. But in my head, I'm just like,
Sienna, we're generalizing the generalizing training.
Right.
It's okay.
That's why I slowed my roll and I was
did.
Okay.
I saw you
answered. But like, literally in my head, I'm just like, well, what is this dog? I'm like, I don't want to throw a level 5 when it's really a level 10. It depends what the dog can do.
No, standard
what
issues.
What is the dog?
Standard
does the dog already know leash skills? Can I touch the dog? Is the dog in the room? Is this the dog at home? Is just the owner doing this?
Right.
Does the owner have friends?
Yeah.
Does the owner want friends?
Yeah.
Does the dog like things?
And FYI, this is a common situation for us. Like, we're literally, people will be like, oh, this problem with this dog. And we're like, we cannot help you without more information. No. Like, I'm going to need more information.
Because you should need more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know.
Okay, but this is the fun thing. Have you seen my TikTok lately? Apparently, I've started a new series.
What'd
accidentally.
You start? What are common problems with the
dog? Yeah, because now everyone's like, cool.
We love that.
But it's like name, or not even name. It's like age, breed, and sometimes gender. And that's it. And I'm like.
That's still pretty easy.
Yeah, it's not particularly hard, but it's like I'm trying to just throw one possible issue, not 4 or 5. I'm not trying to make a full profile off of
why.
Well,
oh my god,
what?
I like Okay, no, no, this is a tangent I can't go on right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Solid.
Sorry.
Mark it down. We'll tangent it later. Yeah. I love that I went mark it down as I had a pen and paper and thought that was, you're going to write it down. And you just flipped open a laptop and
you
went,
think of course I'm going to, I don't even have it. You don't give me pens or paper.
I would. Would you use them?
No.
That's.
Did you know anytime, like, it's so funny. Anytime I go to do anything, like in the, like if I'm at the computer or whatever, I sometimes like I go and I sit down and I grab a piece of paper and a pen and like I go to write down and sometimes I'll get as far as writing like three things down on the list and then I literally rip it up or like rip it up as I'm talking about other things later because I go, this is stupid. I'm going to make it a note on my computer anyway.
Right.
I stole a notebook from here and it's literally got one page filled out because like I was that day, I was like writing things down, but I'm like, I don't want this. I don't want a paper book.
You don't, yeah, you don't do paper books. That's
no, I'm gonna type it, but generalization.
Yeah. So, right, that's what we're talking about. Right. So that, I think that's, we covered it.
Whoa.
I think we covered it. We left the topic at lightning speed and then we kind of returned at lightning speed and I
like,
went,
I think just like, again, the
that is us generalizing generalization. But yeah, when I've heard generalization talked about, there's so many people that are like, it's a sentence somewhere. And then you're going to proof it. And then you're going to generalize it. And then, you know, dogs don't generalize well, so make sure you do it lots of different, no, make sure you do it in lots of different Home Depots. And I'm like,
please stop.
Yeah, please stop.
Please stop.
But, and also stop trying to teach people what generalization is. Maybe learn what generalization is, actually. This is a continuing education moment, folks. But that's where I'm like, for us, we're like, oh, we have done this topic a disservice. And in reality, unfortunately, we both do know that there is a vast underappreciation, not even underappreciation, understanding. There's a vast lack of understanding. There's a of what generalization is, certainly from a behavioral concept. And I think that comes from, hey, they're so used to generalization. For years and years and years, people did a lot of like sports. If they were going to train their dog, it was sports. And there was a lot of consistency in genetics. So when they were generalizing, they were essentially just proofing, right? They were taking that, and the people now, that are teaching now that had mentors, those mentors taught them how to proof and called it generalization. And so now people are coming from this history of like, I've learned how to proof and someone told me that was generalization, but they've never worked in the behavior sphere before, or they've never worked with unstable genetics or inconsistent genetics.
What a life.
Interesting life that must be. So they, like, I don't think it just comes from sheer, oh, I'm just not going to do good work. I think it comes from, I was taught by people that work with in a very different sphere.
It's just different. Is generalization going to end up on my list of words that, like, I'm just going to write off?
No, because I think we can make, like, because it's not that common. I think proofing will, but I don't think generalization will because not enough trainers do it well enough in the behavior sphere to call it generalization.
Okay.
Enough trainers in the sport world use proofing and it frustrates
but
you
they don't
already.
Mean it.
Yeah, yes, that's your issue, right? Because, that's why I think proofing is going to end up on your list because you're already angry.
They're saying
your cheeks
proofing,
just went red.
They're saying the word proofing, but the dog doesn't know it.
Correct.
And
that's why
proofing.
I think proofing is going to end up on your list of things you hate, but generalization
overcorrecting.
Won't. That is correct most of the time.
That is misguiding. This is confusion.
Yes, confuddled. Yeah, we could play the thesaurus game all day long. But yeah, that's where I'm like, I think proofing will. I don't think generalization will because I think you'll think of generalization always from a behavior sphere. And I'm also like, I don't think enough people talk about it in the behavior world.
Nobody.
Not in depth. Weirdly enough, not in depth.
Okay.
Which is quite strange. But I don't know. Here we are.
Here we are.
Sitting in the woods. Talking about it.
Fucking hell.
We might as well just talk to some trees, I think. I have yelled... Well, I haven't yelled generalization into the void, but I have definitely yelled, like, scaling. Like, I'm big on scaling and laddering things in.
We have talked about progressions
before.
Because
I try to stay away from seven-syllable letters. I don't try and use generalization, but I think generalization is good. That's where Make It Weird comes in.
Thank you.
We didn't actually explain how Make It Weird comes in.
It's been in my brain the whole time. I just wanted to see if you'd ever circle back to it. Because I was gonna, but then I'm just like, I just want to see if you ever pops
into your
brain.
I don't sit there and use seven-syllable letters with my clients. I go, cool, you know
make
what you
it
should
weird.
Do? You should make it weird. And you know what? That seems to work a lot better than people wanting to hear seven-syllable words come out of my mouth. Because as soon as the seven syllables hit, everybody's eyes glaze over.
Well.
Make it weird. People are like, oh, I'm like, hey, have you tried to do this in a fancy hat? Do you have a sombrero? Interesting. Do you have shoes that jingle? Let's try that.
Can the dog wear the shoes that jingle?
Oh, that would be impressive.
Can the dog wear the sombrero?
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, that is where Make It Weird comes from, because I made a TikTok about generalization that I don't know. I wonder if I should go back and find that and see if I actually used the word generalization.
Oh, I feel like I must have. Yeah, you would have.
I must have there.
I guarantee you would have. You just would have like briefly said something like, dogs don't generalize.
Oh, yeah. And then I would have been like, move on. Make it weird.
But like, yeah.
So if you're trying to deal with a problem, first, make sure that your dog knows the right answer in a very, very easy environment. Hopefully that you've taught them all the pieces to that answer, and then you've taught them the answer you want, the end behavior you want. And then make it weird a bunch before you ever try and make it so hard that they're going to explode. Yeah. And
yeah.
Fail,
crazy.
Right? Hey, do you have a pack walk question?
Do you have a pack walk question?
No, I never have a pack walk question. That's why I asked you in the middle of the group class
a week ago. That's not fair.
Sienna.
Yeah.
No, that was just me chastising you.
Oh.
That was me being like, oh, Sienna, not me being like, hey, what? Yeah.
You could ask me Sienna, a question once in my whole life.
Did you sign up for anything fun in 2024?
I think we've already talked about this, actually.
Oh, really?
I'm almost certain we did.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure we did.
Okay. Well, if we didn't, what did you sign up for in 2024?
I'm running a marathon.
You sound so sad about it.
Well, I wasn't really. And then when yesterday I told Maddie and her immediate reaction was that soon. I thought August 18th gave me plenty of time.
It doesn't. Apparently does not.
Apparently it does not.
That could be interesting. Yeah.
I did make a Google survey for my runs, though.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
I'm going to have a good data collection.
Yeah. How many personal Google surveys do you have right now?
Because I'm going to say
four.
I think I'm at six.
Okay. And these, by the way, are just, she's discovered Google surveys and she's just making surveys that she can fill out as she lives her life. So these are just like, hey.
So I've got.
You've got the Fountain Coke.
I've got every Fountain Coke. I've got Crying Wrapped. I got Physical Health. I got a med one, and I got rom-coms, and I got She a Runner, She a Track Star, which is my
running
one.
That has to be the running one. Duh. So is that six or seven?
That's six.
That's six, and it's only March. If you don't make at least two Google surveys in this month, I will be shocked.
And just to break down real quick my She a Runner, She a Track Star, because you could also tell me if there's a question that like I'm not collecting data from.
Okay.
So I have my date, obviously. Mm-hmm. I have pre-workout fuel, like so what I ate before. Like I can check out as many of I want.
Yep.
What shoes I wore.
Mm-hmm.
The what if I ate during the run and if I did what it was. Mm-hmm. What music I listened to.
Right.
If I drank during the run,
mm-hmm.
if I brought a dog during the run,
mm-hmm.
what the weather was like, the total distance, total time, any notes, and then how I mentally felt after the run, one being garbage, 10 being endorphins make you happy.
Okay, I also think you should add how you felt before the run.
I was considering that too. Garbage, I'm just like, is that relevant? But I'm just like, yeah.
Well,
I guess.
Because if you start super, super psyched and then you do the run and you hate your life, it's that would be good information, because then you'd be like, wow, turns out I don't like running.
I don't
just
think
as someone who feels that would be personally applicable.
Garbage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
10 being.
Right. So that's good. I think that's so much data. You're going to find some trends, my friend.
Right?
2024, the
like,
year
I'm
of data.
I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a fun experience.
Okay, it's saved.
Oh, good. Okay. Lovely. That was fun.
Yeah.
Lovely. Wow. Anybody? Yeah. So
oh my God. If anybody ever needs a Google survey, like first off filled out, like if you're like, wow, I need somebody who's in.
Yeah. Someone that wants to fill out a survey. She's here for you.
You need someone to like a beginner in construction survey.
So actually we should put in the question two options. One, if you don't have an idea, the first thing you could leave. Sorry. This is a very roundabout sentence. My thoughts are
collect
all in
it.
The same one.
Pull it together. You sound like me. Fucking pull up your socks.
So, number one, you could leave a construction tip or trick that you think Sienna should know before she launches into her construction journey. Number two, I would say you could leave a suggestion for a Google survey.
Yeah, like is there
data? Or both of us could make to launch through the rest of the year.
Yeah. We're only, oh my God, we're not even done. You could make a Google survey
on construction projects.
I can and I will.
Yeah.
I could make one on how often I use my toolkit and like what I use out of it and if I injured myself, and that could be one.
That could be one.
I could make one for dogs.
You could. You could make one for
There's so many options.
But we're asking the people.
Oh, right. The people. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, do you have an idea of a Google survey? Are you wondering of data or statistics from being a dog trainer, anything like that? You just hit me up.
Yep. This could be good.
This could be great.
Wow. I think we've ended on a high note.
Absolutely.
We could make one on how we feel before the podcast and after the podcast. We could make one on the podcast. Oh, God. Now she's got
Opening the laptop.
All right. Okay. She's not actually kidding. She's doing it. So that's it for today.
It's so easy.
And we'll do another one day. Okay, bye.
What a weird way to end it. You've never said that. You normally just say, okay, bye. And do you know that you end phone calls the same way you end a podcast?
That makes sense.
Like, you've never not. Oh. Like, it's always just like, you always have to say, okay, bye. And you end every podcast like that. And you end every single phone call like that.
Really?
And it's never just like, okay, bye. It's always like, okay, bye. It's kind of like you got like, and bye. But okay, bye. And I'm okay with it, but I'm just like, you end the podcast the same way you end a phone call.
Oh, I'm not aware of this. I know I'm present for both the podcast and phone calls.
Surely I'm
very, very rarely aware of them after they've ended. So
yeah, I'm aware of that too.
Yeah. Clients are really good at telling us what we've talked about, though. Better Amen. Than what we know we've talked about.
The only reason I know what we've talked about is because I usually have, like, the podcast up on Spotify and I just quickly scroll through the titles. Because I'm like, did you know? We've talked about training programs. What does that mean?
I think that's when we talked about, like, services. Like, do you want a board? Like, should you do a board?
That's what the description says.
Wow.
Did you know we've talked about...
I think we've done two puppy episodes, but we might have only done
one. What was the first one called?
Puppy Suck.
Yeah.
I think we've done a second one. Because I know we did one on teenagers, but I also was telling someone with a puppy the other day, oh, hey, we did this, we did a puppy one. And then I was like, I actually think we might have done two, but like maybe just check it out. We have
puppies suck and we have helping puppies suck less.
Oh, wow. Huh. What a theme.
All right. Did you know we've done one on walking?
I had forgotten, but now that you've said it, I remember doing it. I remember doing it. It was a good time.
We've talked about a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, you investigate what we've talked about and then make a Google survey.
Okay.
All right. Okay, bye.